Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what up, everybody? This is Lee from Lee and Keys Real Talk. Episode, who knows, who cares. One thing that matters that we're here with you and you lending us your ears. So, but tonight, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about, a small preview of Colby Covington versus Miles Vidal. Is there a real beef? A lot of people saying behind the scenes that they're faking his beef so that the fight will sell or whatever. We're going to talk about, I read something today that Joanna, Jacek was flew back to Florida for training for a possible rematch with Wally Zhang. And then I saw something super funny about Aljamain Sterling. And then me and Key is going to talk about Islam versus Bobby Green this weekend. But let me introduce my co-host. What's going on, Keys, man? How you doing today?
Yeah, we on episode 500,000. If anybody was wondering, it's 500,000. So, yeah, I heard you mention that. I figured we just put that out there. I'm good, though. I'm chilling. I'm ready to rock, bro. Whenever you're good, we going to go.
I'm ready, bro. All right, man. So, next weekend, we got Colby Covington versus Jorge Masvidal. If anybody's been following it, you know, first they were roommates, they were as close as friends, trainer partners, and then I guess Jorge didn't like some of the stuff Colby Covington was saying and doing. Then they had a falling out. They've been going back and forth for a minute. Man, they've been going back and forth for a while now. A lot of people saying that behind the scenes they still friends, that this beef might not just be fabricated, but I don't think so. But I'm going to get your opinion on it. You think it's real beef, and what you think of this fight?
So you said a while back that, you know, when they were, you know, 2019, I feel like it was around 2019 when they really started to, maybe even 2018 really, but 2018, 2019, they started to kind of drift apart. They started to have issues or whatever, but that led into that. And then Colby got kicked out from American Top Team, and then he went to MMA Masters. And, okay, so you made a point about that early on, saying that, you know, you felt like it was a fabricated situation and they were just, you know, they're actually still, you know, best friends, or they're still good friends, because they were pretty much best friends before. But yeah, you had said you felt like it was pretty much fake, and that they were just, you know, they were just trying to make a big fight, you know. And I think that is partially true. I think what happened is this. I think it stopped. So this is kind of like in the middle, right? So I think it's not that it's completely real, but it's not completely fake either. I think it started out as that. I think they were trying to, you know, create a moment in the sport, and they were trying to, okay, let's both go after a big bag. Let's both go after a big, fight purse. Let's make this happen. Maybe even fight for the title. You know, that would be huge. You know, if there was a title, I mean, given they still have a main event, even with no belt. But I think it's possible even their, you know, that their original intent was that, okay, you know, we're two of the best guys. Let's try and make this fight big before one of us is the champion. And then maybe, you know, they both fought Usman twice. You know, I don't think either one of them thought they wouldn't get a single win. You know, I don't think they thought they would go 0-4 against Usman, but they did. So, you know, one of them had to have thought, or they both probably thought that they would be the champion. And then eventually you would have a title fight there. You know, obviously Usman beat both of them twice, so this is a non-title fight, but it's still the main event because it's still such a big beef. It's still a high-stakes fight for the division. And, you know, I think it started out as, okay, let's do this and try to get a big bag, but they were still friends. But I think it went too far. I think they got away from that when the insults got a little bit too personal. That's what I think has started to happen is, you know, for example, when Kobe, you know, it's clear that he's familiar with, you know, Masvidal's family, and they know each other they were actually really that close. And, you know, I think, for example, when Kobe went to, I believe it's Masvidal's ex-wife or his ex-fiance or girlfriend, he went to her house and he took a picture with her and he posted a Instagram and he said, like, I'm with Miss Masvidal or something like that. And I think when you go to that point and you bring it there, it's like, I think that was the point when, that could have been the point when Masvidal, you know, it actually became more real. And nerves were actually, you know, nerves were kind of touched right there, you know. And then Masvidal, you know, became more serious about it. And then I think when Masvidal, you know, started to come back more serious about it, then Kobe became more serious. So I think that's what happened. I think it started out, like you said, and then I think some of the beef got a little bit too personal because they know each other. And that turned it into what it is now, where I think at the core they are still friends, but I think they're not currently friends because of like the way that the back and forth got.
Yeah, I agree. I think it started off as if, you know, hey man, hey, let's try to get this bag, you know. If we can, you know, muster up enough attention, we can definitely make a big fight. And I think what happened was when Kobe Covington won the interim belt and he started talking about the Donald Trump stuff, I think that rubbed a lot of the other fighters a different kind of way because of what Trump was preaching and what, and, you know, and the stuff he was saying. And he was so divisive. And I think that rubbed a lot of UFC fighters the wrong way. And the man rubbed Jorge Masvidal the wrong way. But the thing with the taking a picture, that's when you definitely step over a line. We talked about trash talk a while ago. You know, you could talk about your opponent, talk about your opponent's style, you know, talk about anything about them as far as when it comes to their skill. But when you start introducing family and stuff like that, I think that's going a little bit too far. And then as far as like American Top Team, I think he was kicked out of the gym because they were tired of his antics and some of his stances, and some of the fighters in their gym, you know, they was like, yo, what we doing here? You know, la, 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 thought we all supposed to be family and stuff like that. One thing about Kobe Covington, if this is his gimmick, he's definitely riding hard with his gimmick. As far as with the girls, you know, the shit he say, you know, hey, if you want to have a persona and you want to have a gimmick, sometimes that's fine. You know, Conor's thing was he talked a lot of trash. You know, a lot of people gravitated towards that. You know, Ronda Rousey, so her gimmick was the way she walked, the way she looked at the weigh-ins and stuff like that. Joanna, Young J-Check, you know, her gimmick was to be, try to intimidate her opponents, you know, at the weigh-ins, getting all up in their face and doing stuff like that. So if you got a gimmick, 9 times out of 10, you gotta ride that gimmick, ride it till it falls off. But I think they got real beef. You know, this is a main event, it's a non-title fight, so I think this fight is probably bigger for, oh, man, I want to say, I think this fight is bigger for Masvidal because, man, if I want to say, he definitely, let me see what his record, what he's looking like. And I think he's on a losing streak. But I think this fight is definitely bigger for him. I think Kobe can remain in the top five. You know, with a win, still being a title picture, but definitely this fight is definitely bigger for Masvidal, who's lost twice to Usman. He beat Ben Askren. He beat Darren Till, beat Nate Diaz. So, yeah, he lost to Damian Maia. So, basically, he's 4. He lost 2, won 3, lost 2. So, and before that, okay. All right, let's go back. Lost 2, won 3, lost 2, won 3, lost 2. So that, I guess there's a little pattern there. But I think this fight is definitely bigger for Masvidal, as Kobe can definitely, you know, Kobe, he's a good fighter, man. We can't take anything away from his skill set. He's definitely one of the fighters that keeps a crazy pace in there. But, you know, hopefully sometime down the road, you know, cooler heads prevail, that, you know, they can talk it out, work it out, and, you know, probably get back together. But I think as of right now, I think the beef started off as fake, but I think it got, when it became personal, the beef became real.
Yeah, so either way, I mean, we pretty much have the same perspective on that. I mean, either way, belt or not, I mean, Masvidal 0-2, you know, in his last 2 going into it. And then Covington, I want to say, is 1-1 in his last 2 going into it. Neither one of them have really been super active in the past year and a half. I mean, Masvidal had obviously a big 2019, and then, you know, he fought Usman in 2020, and that was it. And then he fought Usman in 2021, and that was it. And then, yeah, we haven't seen him fight since he lost to Usman, I believe. So, yeah, it is interesting because either way, with both guys like taking all these losses recently and like not really being around that much, I feel like the fight is still gonna sell. Like the fight's still going to do pretty damn good, and I think that'll be to the stars that they both are. You know, I think they're both stars. I think Covington's a star. You know, back in 2018, if you asked me that, I would say he wasn't a star, but I mean, I think that was more accurate at that time. I don't think he was a star yet, but I think now he's developed himself. You know, he was kind of just coming on the scene, and I really wasn't into his, you know, his gimmick at that time, but I think he kind of grew on me since then. And I think he is a star at this point. And, you know, the reason why, in my belief, why, you know, him and Usman's rematch, you know, sold what it did was because of Covington. You know, that, you know, people want to see Usman fight. Yeah. But Covington sold that fight. I mean, Usman wasn't really, he was kind of playing like, you know, counterpuncher with the, you know, with the media, you know, as far as that, like Covington was bringing all the talk that was around the fight, and Usman's kind of, you know, sitting back. He's a champ, you know what I mean? He doesn't really have to come out and, you know, talk all this, but just, that's fine. But just be clear. It's like Covington sold that fight, and Covington and Masvidal have sold this fight, you know, for the past couple of years together. And I think, you know, even both coming off losses and both lost to the champ twice, it's still going to be a banger. I'm excited for it, and I'm looking forward to watching next weekend, and I think it's going to do good numbers on pay-per-view.
Yeah, I think another thing we got to throw out there about these two, I think both of them have a career after the UFC and wrestling. I think, you know, Jorge Masvidal has did some things with AEW, and Kobe Covington has talked about possibly doing some business with WWE. So, you know, they both still have options after the UFC. So, so the UFC might not be the end-all, be-all for both of them. Plus, Jorge Masvidal said he wanted to fight Jake Paul. So, we'll see. But, look, man, another piece of news that I read this week was Joanna, you know, Jacek, was flying back to Florida this week for a possible rematch with Wiley Zhang. But Zhang's camp says she won't be ready for a fight to the summertime. How do you feel about this rematch? Do you think we get another classic?
They want to do who? Wiley Zhang and who?
Joanna. JJ.
Have they fought twice, right? Or one time?
No, they fought once.
Why are they doing the rematch? Because Joanna hasn't fought in like 2 years, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Joanna hasn't fought in 2 years. I mean, I'm not, but I know she's also like at the level where it's like, she's kind of like in the same, it's like Joanna's kind of like in the same boat as Stipe, where it's like, you know, they've done enough. They've both done, you know, more than enough in their careers and were like such great champions that they, if they're going to fight, it's like, you know, you're going to give them a number one contender fight, or they're going to fight for the belt. Like, that's pretty much where both of them are at. I'd say they're in the same boat as far as that, is that angle. So, you know, it was even kind of surprising to me that Joanna took the fight with Michelle Waterson, you know, when she took it. I mean, but maybe that was, I mean, I wonder what the conversation was for that. Like, I wonder if she was supposed to, you know, if she won that fight, if she was supposed to fight for the belt, or did she fight? No, she didn't. Her last fight was Waterson. I wonder if she was supposed to fight for the belt after that, and maybe it didn't happen, or someone else. Or the other possibility is that Joanna was taking that, thinking like, all right, let me take this fight and kind of get myself back in the win column. And I'm not trying to disrespect Waterson saying that, but I could see Joanna having that mind. I mean, every fighter kind of has to come out with that mindset. You know what I mean? Like, you have to believe that I'm going to beat this fighter. You know, I have to believe like going in to win, you know, and I could see Joanna having had that perspective of Waterson, like, all right, let me take this fight and, you know, get my confidence back. I feel like I can beat her. And, you know, I don't know if I watched, I don't think I watched that fight, but I did hear that Joanna looked, you know, she kind of dominated that fight, and you know, that probably got her to where she needed to be. So you come back now.
Yeah, she dominated that fight.
Yeah, you come back now, and it's either, you know, fight for number one contender or fight for the belt. So I think, you know, her and Wiley Zhang make sense, you know, for a rematch. I think so. I mean, as long as Joanna, like, feels comfortable with that, you know, it's, you're still coming off 2 years, I think 2 years away, and fighting Wiley Zhang, who has been pretty active, I would say. And Wiley Zhang, it's like, you know, she's been sharpening her sword a lot. Like, it's not – and Wiley Zhang is an incredible fighter. Like, overall, she's incredible. Like, you know, you don't have to be a fan of her, but, like, regardless of being a fan, she's incredible. Like, overall, great fighter. And she has been sharpening her sword. Like, she fought Rose twice, you know, and, you know, she just fought Rose. They had a good fight. You know, Wiley Zhang obviously been training with Henry Cejudo. You could see, I mean, Rose still had the advantage on her with, because Rose is a pretty good wrestler too. And, you know, Rose obviously had her beat in the wrestling department in that fight, but you could at least see that, you could tell that Wiley Zhang, you know, she understood wrestling more than she had previously. Like, in her previous fights, you could kind of see that, at least to me, that she wasn't really looking to go to the ground. And I feel like in that Rose rematch, when she was, you know, when she was in bottom position, she didn't look like she was, she didn't look panicked to me. She didn't look like, oh man, like I just got taken down. Like, she seemed a bit more comfortable there, is what I would say. And it didn't seem like she was really trying to avoid it, you know. When she got taken down, I was like, okay, I could tell. I know I'm no expert, but I could tell that, you know, she had been trained in wrestling. Even if she got out wrestled, I could just see that she didn't look like she was panicking, you know, when she was when she got taken down, she was in bottom position. So I think that fight makes sense, just as long as Joanna feels ready for it, because like I said, Wiley's been sharpening her sword, and she's probably gotten better since that, her last fight.
Yeah, I think what happened was Joanna fought Waterson thinking that, you know, she would get another shot at Wiley when Wiley was the champ. But then Wiley lost to Namajunas, and then Wiley lost to Namajunas again. And we know Joanna done lost to Nama Nunes twice. So, you know, we know the UFC really isn't in business of giving you a third fight against a champion if you've been dominated by that champion. So I think that really hurt Joanna when Rose won the belt. I think this fight is not going to be a classic like the first one because of what you said. Wally Zhang has definitely added some more tools to her tool belt. I think she's definitely wising up that every fight can't be a stand-up battle. You have to add other things to your game. And it, versus Rose, you saw, like you said, she isn't afraid to wrestle. And I think against Joanna, wrestling is your best way to go. Joanna has great takedown defense, but have we ever really seen her fight off her back? And is she an effective fighter off her back? I would venture to say no. I'm game for this rematch because the first one was such a classic. Some people thought the fight could have went Joanna way. I thought Wally won the fight, but the action was tremendous. It's definitely probably in my top five or maybe my top seven fights of all time. But I would love to see Joanna get back in there. I think she had a point right now in her career that maybe strawweight isn't for her. She may have to go up because as long as Rose is the champ, she's not going to get a shot. How many women can say they want a belt in two divisions? Right now, only one. That's Amanda Nunes. She's won a belt in both divisions. So if Rose want to be a champ, she's going to have to possibly, man, but I don't see her beating Shevchenko either. But I think that would be a hell of a fight, though. That would be a hell of a fight. That would be a fight that Shevchenko probably, she'll be good in that fight, but I don't think she'll be dominant as she's looked against all these other girls. Because I think Joanna could get her, you know, can probably go toe-to-toe with her in the stand-up, but can Joanna survive Shevchenko's ground game? That's yet to be determined. But I do like this Joanna versus Wally Zhang rematch, especially with the first one being so good.
Yeah, I mean, and that would be a rematch. I mean, I'm pretty sure didn't Valentina and Joanna fight?
I don't know.
I could have sworn they fought, like, maybe. I don't know exactly what point it was at, but I'm pretty sure they fought, like, a couple of years ago. I'm going to have to look this up. I'm almost positive they fought. I think Joanna, she moved up at some point, like, just for that fight. Yeah, you can see it right here. It was in 2018. So Shevchenko was the flyweight champ. And, yeah, Joanna moved up to flyweight just for that fight. And Shevchenko won by decision.
Okay.
Yeah, so they would – yeah, that was UFC 231. I knew that was at some point, but by now that was kind of a long time ago. I mean, that's going on 4 years ago this year. It's kind of crazy. But, yeah, Shevchenko – yeah, beat Joanna before. So, I mean, you would have a rematch, but then at the same time, I mean, if Joanna was going to do that, I would want to see her, like, get acclimated to the division first. You know, if she was going to move up to flyweight, I would definitely want to see her, you know, take a couple fights. You know, there's also fights up there that I think would be fun fights and challenging fights for her before you even get to Shevchenko. Like, isn't Marina Rodriguez in that division?
I think so.
And I want to say Marina just fought the other night. I got to see. Oh, no, her fight. Oh no, Marina's fighting next weekend. Actually, okay. So that okay that. Oh no, that's strawweight. Marina's at strawweight.
Yeah, she's okay. Yeah, she's at one. Yeah, strawweight. I
okay,
think.
Marina,
but
Marina is fighting though. She's fighting. She's fighting Yan Zhaonan. That's next weekend at UFC 272. Okay, so I was partially right. Marina's fighting, but she's not in flyweight. I thought she was. That's cool. But there might be some other. I think there's some other fights up there that Joanna could take. I mean, I think it'd be if she's gonna do it though, have her go up and either way, take a couple of fights there before you go, you know, for the belt. Because I think last time, you know, that was a problem. I think you go up there and it's like. Sometimes it don't work, man. You go for bigger.
Yep.
It's like you can't just. Sometimes it don't work, man. You gotta, you know, people always want to like go for greatness. It's like, look what happened to Adesanya. Like Adesanya tried to move up, and he thought like that was a favorable matchup against our boy Vukovic, and we saw what happened with that. Vukovic pretty much dominated him the whole fight. I mean, what? What didn't Vukovic do that was better? Like, Vukovic was winning the stand-up exchanges, from what I remember, and then he took him down, and he was dominating him on the mat. Like, what Vukovic won in each area that fight was in? You know, he was very dominant in that fight, from what I remember, and sometimes it just doesn't work. So I would like to see her, you know, actually get acclimated to the division, like take a couple fights there, you know? And then go for the champion. Like, see, let your body get used to being at that weight and then actually move up to that weight. Because I think that could be, you know, that could be a big rematch, too. Like, you have Shevchenko still the champion. Like, you don't think the UFC would jump on that? Like, trying to have, you know, that's really the only, if Joanna would move up, that would be really the only, like, big name in that division. I mean, there's really no. There's honestly no notable names in the flyweight division for the women's flyweight. Like, really, who is there? And when I say notable, I'm saying, like, pay-per-view, like, worthy fighters. Like, yeah, you have them on pay-per-view, and that might sound like a diss, but, like, if we're being honest, like, who is really, like, box office? I guess that's what I'm saying. Like, who is, like, box office in that division, like, for Valentina to fight? There's really not anybody. Like, she's fighting girls that, like, they're winning fights, but, like, they're really not, like, they're not, like, intriguing fights. Like, most of the fights that you see there are, okay, she's just going to beat her, too. She's going to beat her, too. Okay, Valentina's going to come up to, like, you know, a 12-point favorite, you know, something like this, or even maybe even more, because it's just such a mismatch. So it's really not, they're not box office names. Like, no one expects them. So Joanna, you move up. I feel like Dana White would love that. You know, you move up permanently. Okay, I'm going to take, you know, a couple fights in the top 10 and then go for the champ. And that would be – that's a box office fight, you know, Valentina versus Joanna, even if Joanna lost the first fight. I still think that's – you know, you get the second one, and that's still a big fight.
Yeah, and plus, I mean, because if you look at it, if she move up, you know, Mackenzie Dern is up there. That's a good fight. Talia Santos is up there. You know, I mean, there are also good fights up there. I mean, Mackenzie Dern is I want to say she and Amanda's weight class. I might have got that wrong. But there are also good fights up there in the next division. So, but, you know, it all depends on what Joanna wants to do, man. I just don't see her being able to be in a title picture as long as Rose is a champ. And then she goes up, she already lost to Shevchenko, so she will have to fight her way up again. So, but at the same time, we want all fighters to have to go through adversity, climb the ladder, you know, earn their way into a title picture. So she just kind of like stuck in this position right now of what should she do. But hopefully we get the Wiley Zhang rematch, and then we go from there. But I got another thing that I saw today that was really, really funny. that I want to talk about, man. When I saw it, I couldn't do nothing but laugh. And I was like, man, the internet is just, the internet is funny. Did you see the post today, Keys, that Aljamain Sterling is a few weeks away from entering the second year of his title reign?
Man, what the hell?
What?
Yeah, man. It's it ran Aljamain Sterling.
The thing that I'm confused about, right, is how do you even call that a like, I get they have to say that, but, like, really? Is anybody impressed with that? Like, that's the real question. Like, okay, he was the champion, right? Well, he is the champion, right? I mean, I guess he's the champion, but I'm just not proud of that, though. Like, and I like Sterling, so it's annoying that I have to even say that I'm not proud of that because I'm a fan of him, but I don't like the way, you know, the whole thing went down. Like, he takes the belt by DQ, and that was whack. You know, Anthony Smith could have did that versus John Jones, and Anthony Smith didn't take the belt. You know what I'm saying? Anthony Smith could have been the lightweight champion after his fight with John Jones. He could have if he wanted to, but he didn't take the bait. He wanted to keep fighting, even though, you know, he was losing, and I respect him for that. You know, Aljamain Sterling, you know, he takes the belt, and it's like, okay. And it's like, all right, like, whatever. I don't know what the injury, like, he got kneed in the head or whatever. It's like, okay. You know, what I would have probably liked to see was give Sterling the win. Give him the win, but don't give him the belt. I know that sounds weird, but that's what I would have liked to see. I think he would deserve the win because I think it is right to give that person, you know, who gets hit with an illegal shot, give them, person who throws an illegal shot, they deserve to lose. That's what I think. If you're going to throw an illegal shot and you know it's illegal, you know, which most of these guys, they know the rules, you know what I'm saying? And I like to believe they know the rules. You deserve to be the loser of that fight, right? But I don't agree that you deserve to lose your belt in those types of situations. I don't really think that's lose your belt worthy. I mean, you weren't defeated. You just did something that was against the rules. So I don't really think it should have went down that way. Sterling should have been declared the winner, but not taken the belt off Jan for it. Either way, I mean, we did end up getting Jan and Sanhagen's fight out of it, which I thought was a fun fight to watch. I was very interested in that. And maybe we wouldn't have gotten Sanhagen versus Dillashaw if that fight didn't happen. Who knows? I mean, if you still had Jan, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to tell what might have been different if, you know, if that fight didn't go that way. But, yeah, 2 years into the title reign, that's just laughable to me because, really, what has he done in that title reign? Basically nothing. Besides put out tweets and try to make other fights with other guys, he knows and we all know that we don't even – acknowledge him as a real champ unless he can beat Peter Yan, and he hasn't fair and square done that yet. So yeah, that's a snooze to me.
Man, when I read it, man, I just started laughing. I was like, man, come on, title reign for real? I was like, he got the belt on a technicality, and then he's injured. He hasn't fought. He's doing commercials. He's at all the fights, but he's unable to fight. And going into the fight against Jan, me and you were both like Aljamain Sterling should have had a title shot a while ago. And, you know, he get in there, and he's getting basically demolished in that fight. He has no answers for Jan. And then all of a sudden, Jan does something stupid, and he can't continue in that war and hit the belt. No, this is not a title reign. This is somebody holding a belt that he really didn't win. He hasn't been able to defend it. So, no, title reign is the wrong verbiage. But, you know, I think in the next fight, I think we'll get a clear understanding. And I think Petryan will be even better in this fight because I just don't think Aljamain Sterling can deal with his striking. And if Aljamain Sterling can't take you down and he can't do the stuff that wins him fights, he has no plan B. So it's definitely not his striking. So, yeah, man, I just had to bring it up, man. When I saw that, bro, I was rolling. I mean, I was laughing probably for about 2 minutes. I was like, they really put him in the same sentence as George St. Pierre, Anderson Silva. Really, that's what we doing? It's hilarious, bro. All right, man. So this weekend we got a card. We got a card this weekend. Headlined by our boy Bobby Green taking on Islam Makhachev. Bobby Green is taking this fight 14 days after his last fight, which I don't think is a good idea. But you know, that's that man's career. He feel like he can go in there and do his thing. I just think fighting a guy like Islam on short notice just isn't smart. But it's a main event. Bobby Green is in there. I really don't see too many other fights on this card that really, like, made me say, wow. Sakarian versus Alvarez, 17-2 versus 19-2. Serkanov versus Thurman, 17-5 versus 15-7. Serkanov, they think, is going to be a big star. But let's talk about this Islam versus Bobby Green fight. What you thinking, bro?
So I'm going to say this, and I have a feeling we're going opposite ways on this. I mean, I've already seen what you've had to say about it, but, you know, whatever. What I think is that this is honestly a terrible fight. I don't like this fight at all. I think that, you know, if I don't like the matchup regardless. I don't really think this is like a fun matchup, but either way, it's especially not a fight I want to see for Bobby Green, you know, taking it on 10 days notice. It's like, when are we going to stop with these like bullshit, like short notice camps, you know, to take these like huge pivotal fights? It's like, why are we doing this? Like, I don't understand why this is like so widely accepted and like why people get excited over fights like this. It's like, what is there to be excited about? Islam has had a full camp for this. He's probably been training for this, finished Dan Hooker in like 2 minutes in the last fight, which, mind you, Dan Hooker also fought him on short notice. Let's not forget. Dan Hooker also bought him on short notice. Islam finished him in the like first 2 minutes of the fight. He's probably been training for Dariush, you know, since then. So he's had, you know, more than a full training camp. And then plus those guys are always training anyways, you know, the Dagestani fight, they're always training, you know, fighting with each other and, you know, dropping in their swords. So basically he's had all this time. Bobby Green, he fought Fiziev. I think that was, I don't really remember what month that was, honestly, but it wasn't too far after that fight when he took the Ally Kinta fight. That was in either November or December. And then we found out he was taking the Nasrat fight, which was in February. So basically, that alone, he took back-to-back fights with Ally Kinta and Nasrat. And that was in 3 months he fought those two guys. And then now I already wanted him to chill for a little while after the Nasrat fight. I didn't want him to go right into another fight. I don't understand why this type of shit is even allowed, honestly. Like, you guys, you know, love to, you know, point out when you know, a state athletic commission, you know, doesn't want to accept, you know, certain guys. It's like everyone, you know, everything is okay when, you know, the state athletic commission, you know, sanctions, you know, a certain fighter and they look like they're concussed or something. Like Max Holloway, you know, is going in there and it's like he's slurring his words. Okay, you know, we're going to let, you know, we're going to let him fight. And then now it's like, okay, let's take it even a step further. Let's let this guy who just fought twice in 3 months now go again and fight, you know, one of the top guys in the world in that division on 10 days notice. Like, I don't understand it. Where y'all come up with this? Like, why is this accepted? Like, why does the State Athletic Commission sanction this type of shit? I just don't get it. Like, it's all this type of wackiness that goes on. It's like, if I wanted to see Bobby Green fight him, which I really don't want to see that matchup because it's just not, I'm not interested. I don't really watch Islam's fights, so I don't really know, like, it's hard for me to get excited. I've never really watched that much footage of him, but if I wanted to see Bobby Green fight, you know, I would want to see him fight Islam. I want to see him take him on a full camp, first of all. So that's the first strike right there. He's taking 10 days, and that's just nonsense to me. Second is I wanted him to take time off before doing that. So even if he was going to get a full camp, I wouldn't want him to go right into it. I would have wanted him to take time off and then start training, you know, take a couple months, you know, at least 2 months, 3 months off, and then start training, you know, if he was going to fight, you know, Islam or whoever in, you know, June or something. That's what I would have wanted for Bobby Green, not to fight right away. Like, this is stupid. And then, so that's strike two. And then strike three is I just don't like the matchup. You know, Islam is not a guy you fight on 10 days notice, first of all. So that's stupid. And then also, if I wanted Bobby Green, his next fight, I would have wanted him to fight Brad Riddle. That would be the guy I would want him to fight, 100%, because that is an absolute banger. That would be the fight of the night, without a doubt. Bobby Green versus Brad Riddle is a banger in the making, okay? And win or lose on Saturday night, whatever happens, I still think they should make that fight, because that will be a classic. That will be a classic, and I would be willing to bet that would get fight of the night, or at least one of the performance bonuses on whatever card it gets on. So, yeah. Pretty much don't like this fight at all, and I'm disappointed that they even are going through with this.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I don't like this fight at all. It's just that Bobby, bro, I know that you're a warrior. I understand that. But sometimes you got to look at the bigger picture. You are I don't even think Bobby is ranked, bro. I don't even think he's ranked. Lightweight. Okay, he's lightweight. Yeah, lightweight. Yeah, he's not even ranked. That's why when we talked about it, I said I would rather him fight Diego Ferreira, and you said you would rather see him fight Brad Riddle because we wanted to see him fight your way up, get in the top 15. You know, this fight is being fought at a catch weight of, 160, I think. I think it's 160. So, but Islam is not a guy that you could train for 10 days and be ready to fight. I know Bobby was a good wrestler in high school, but, you know, this is what Islam does. Islam is not going to come in there and let you get off the way you did in your last fight. You're not going to have a fight where you're going to throw all those strikes like you did in the last fight. Hopefully Bobby is working on his takedown defense, his submission defense, because he's definitely going to need it. But oh, my man Keys, sometimes this is when you as a fight camp, you got to protect your fighter. Bobby, this just isn't smart. You know, I know you want to get back in there. I know this is a big fight. You know, if you win this fight, you know, all eyes going to be on you and, you know, people going to be singing your praises and all that. But you got to look at the flip side. What if you lose? You know, what's the consequence of you losing? But with that being said, if Bobby can somehow fight off those title defenses, I think he could get off on Islam. I don't think Islam has a striking game that's scary, you know. So if Bobby come in there and he do what he's supposed to do, and he fights with discipline, and he can protect the takedowns, Keys, I think he can shock the world. But that's a tall task going up against this guy.
Yeah, I mean, I've only ever watched, I saw Islam's Dan Hooker fight, and I saw his, this is the only footage I've ever seen of him. I saw his Dan Hooker fight, and I saw, I forget who it was that he fought, but it was like one of his earlier fights. They had like a free fight on YouTube. It was a lower level guy. It wasn't his fight with the number 14 ranked dude that he fought before Dan Hooker. It wasn't that one. It was one of his earlier fights that I watched. And so I've seen maybe 20
Drew
minutes
Dober
of
or Islam. Thiago Moises.
No, it wasn't Moises. It wasn't that one. I watched
Drew
it
Dober.
Was a free fight they put up on YouTube. I don't. Who did you say?
Dober, Drew Dober, because he was supposed to be good,
yeah.
Too.
You know, I think I saw. I saw his fight with Drew Dober too. I don't really remember that though. Oh yeah, so I saw. Okay, so I saw the Hooker fight. I saw the Drew Dober fight, and I saw this. I forget who the other one was, but I watched the whole thing. It was a 15-minute fight. He won by decision, and he had a lot of takedowns in that fight. But I remember feeling like he couldn't really hold the guy down that well. I forget who it was that he fought, but I've maybe seen like maybe 15. I've seen three fights. I've seen maybe 35 minutes of footage of Islam, and I just his fights, you know, and it's not even really 35 minutes because like that style doesn't really keep my attention that well. Like the Drew Dober fight, I probably wasn't watching it closely. I probably was in and out or on my phone or walking into the kitchen to get a beer. Like, I probably didn't watch it like that. The Hooker fight was like 2 minutes long. And the one fight that I did watch was that free fight. I watched all 15 minutes pretty closely at that because when they were starting to hype him, I was like, all right, let me like watch some footage on this guy. So realistically, you know, maybe 20 minutes of footage I've seen of Islam. I'm just not a fan of that style, man. I don't, you know, I saw some guy on Twitter earlier today was like, why are people more impressed with or interested with high level striking versus high level grappling? Do you guys think that high level like striking is harder than grappling? And it's like, okay, well, first of all, like in my opinion, having interest in watching someone perform something and when you're talking the fight game and UFC specifically, I don't think the style that like of fighting that you like, whether you like to see kickboxing or you like to see Muay Thai or you like to see Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu fighters or you like to see grapplers, you like to see mostly wrestling, you know, whatever the style is that you like, the style fighter that you like to watch, I don't really necessarily think like correlates only to the skill that it takes to do it. Like, I don't really think that. That's not even really something that I think about, to be honest. I don't even think that's as relevant as that particular guy made it seem. I just like to see, you know, I like to see punches and kicks, you know, and submissions here and there. But, and it's, yeah, submissions are cool. But, like, I'm not really into wrestling and grappling. That's not – if you're going to be a wrestler, like, there's only a few wrestlers I'm really a fan of. I like Curtis Blaydes, and that's mainly because Curtis Blaydes is always throwing shots when he takes you down. He's always landing damage. Like, he doesn't just sit there and transition and do nothing like a lot of these guys like to do. You know, Curtis Blaydes lands a ton of ground strikes once he gets you down. I like that. And he's not afraid to strike. You see him going in there, even if he gets knocked out, he's not afraid to strike with some of the scariest guys. So Curtis Blaydes is just a dog. You know, he's a true fighter to me. And DC, you know, he's a wrestler, but he was into going in there, you know, taking you down and finishing you. DC didn't want to just sit on top of you. Like, he was a guy that's going to go in there and take you down and try to finish you on the mat. He's not just going to sit there and grapple and do nothing. Like, so without going into it, too much of it, it's just his style isn't really, like you said, it doesn't really do it for me. I'm entertained by punches, kicks, and submissions. That's what I like. I'm not really into wrestling and grappling. You know, people don't like to hear that, but I don't find it entertaining. So these fighters, it's just whatever to me. And, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, man. I like Islam. I like him as a fighter. I like his technique. But as far as, like, watching him on with you, man, his style definitely isn't appealing to the eye. And most of his fights aren't exciting. Normally when you watch a top-level guy, you want them to bring, some form of excitement to the fight. But, you know, sometimes a submission win can be just as exciting as a knockout if it's done in a way where you like, man, that was slick. But who you got winning?
Oh, the Islam and Bobby Green? Islam is going to win. Islam will probably win by decision, or maybe submit him at some point. You know, I would love to see Bobby Green win, but I just don't think it's realistic. I mean, we've seen things like this be done. I mean, you look at Luke Rockhold versus Michael Bisping. I'm pretty sure Bisping came in on like a week or two notice. It might have been like 7 days notice, and he knocked out Rockhold and won the belt. Like, it can be done, but it's just, I mean, I don't think that's the best comparison for me to make, but because, you know, Bisping was also like, I don't think Bisping was where Bobby Green is in the division right now. I think Bisping was kind of already a higher level guy. Like, he was already a ranked guy that had, you know, beaten Anderson Silva. Like, he was already at a pretty high level. He was just counted out, you know, and he took a short notice. But Bobby Green, I don't see it, man. I see him losing this fight. I see myself being disappointed. He's gonna lose, and I'm gonna be disappointed because it's stupid matchmaking. It's really just stupid, careless matchmaking.
Yeah, I totally agree. There was nothing that said you had to put Islam on this card. You could have pushed him and Darius back. You could have kept that fight intact. Just push him back. I think Darius broke his leg, though. I think he broke his leg. But I'm going with the upset, man. I'm going with Bobby Green to win this fight, man. I don't know why. Maybe I'm a prisoner of the moment, you know, after watching his last fight. And maybe because I'm the new appointed fan club, president of the Bobby Green fan club. But I think if he can defend the takedown keys, I think Islam is going to have problems. Because most of these guys that are strictly wrestlers / submission artists, the one thing they can't do, they can't take a punch, and they don't want to be in a stand-up war. So I think Bobby going to have to come in and stay at range, hit him with that jab. And I would like Bobby to go back to being his old self. go in there talking trash. He might not know what you're saying, but talk to him while you're in there. Get him off his game a little bit. You know, every tweet that I have sent out concerning this fight, I always ended it with shock the world. So I think Bobby Green will shock the world on Saturday. I got Bobby Green winning this fight. But he can't let it go to the scorecards. He's going to have to finish Islam. Because if we go to the scorecards, I don't think he has a chance of winning this fight. Unless he's totally dominant.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I'll say this. Islam skills and all this. I mean, while I still think Islam wins the fight, if we're going to talk about path to victory for Bobby Green, I'll say this. Bobby Green can outbox Islam. That is one thing I will say. Bobby Green is a very good striker, very good boxing. Like, I'm not a boxing expert, but just watching him, bro, he fought Nasrat with his hands all the way down. Like, he was barely even defending his face. And I feel like he was barely getting hit. And it was like, he pretty much put on a clinic in that fight and was barely even defending himself. Like, that dude is different, man. He reminds me, I don't even know who he reminds me of. I could say like an old school Nate Diaz or something like that, but I won't even do that. I'll just say he's very impressive. And I think if you're going to, you know, have a path to victory for him, you know, you would have to go in there and make sure he can stuff all the takedowns and just box Islam's head off. That's what you would have to do. And also, you know, work for a finish, but.
Yeah, man. Hey, come on, Bobby Green, shock the world, bro. Being this fighter's at a catch weight. Basically, you know, he probably is fighting closer to his walk around weight, but Islam is probably fighting close to his walk around weight. So after they hydrate back up, you know, it'll be interesting to see who's going to be the bigger man. But I already know Bobby Green will be the faster guy. He's definitely going to be the better striker. But I know that Islam is going to be the better wrestler, the better grappler. So, I think Bobby going to shock the world, man. I think we're going to come up in here next Wednesday singing the praises of Bobby Green, dog. I think win or lose, we might still be singing. I think if he win, we'll definitely be singing his praises. But if he go in there and put on a good show and a good showing, I think we'll come in here singing his praises. So we'll see how the fight go.
Man, I'd love to see it. No, don't get me wrong. I'm rooting for him all day. I just, you know, it's one of those things where it's, you know, objectively, I think he loses, but subjectively, I would love to see him starch the absolute shit out of Islam, bro. I would love to see him put that dude out in the first round. I would love to see it, bro. Imagine that. Islam goes 0-4 on takedowns in the first round. Bobby lands an elbow from hell. Boom! Puts him away, bro. Oh, my God. I think all the real ones would have to come outside and do it, shot us a rock together for that. Oh my goodness. Or whatever Bobby Green drinks. I could see him being, you know, on the Hennessy. I could see Bobby Green sipping Hennessy for sure. He seems like a Hennessy kind of guy. And if that's the case, you know, I have a glass of Hennessy with him. We can go. We can do whatever. You know, but all the real ones would have to, you know, I would love to see it happen. And if it would have happened, all the real ones would have to come out and toast to that, because that would just be a beautiful moment for the sport. And shout out to our friend NJ MMA Insight on Twitter. You know, he interacts with our Twitter a lot. And shout out to the people that have been following our Twitter lately too. I feel like we've seen a little spike in followers, and that's pretty cool. I remember when you know, we had under 100 followers. Now we have 112 followers, and you know, we've kind of seen a little spike lately. And that's cool. And shout out to NJ MMA Insight. You know, go follow him. He interacts with us a lot. One thing that, you know, he just tweeted us, I'm just going to point it out, I don't really understand, is he said, You know, I tweeted that Islam Makhachev versus Bobby Green is the worst matchmaking I've seen from the UFC in a while. You know, terrible fight. Honestly disappointed the state commission sanctioned it. Time frame is far too small for Bobby, and he's also not ranked fighting a top five lightweight in the world. Do better, UFC. So NJMA goes, so how much money are you throwing on Bobby? And I said, none. I said, why would I bet money? I was like, I think Bobby most likely gets dominated here. I just think this is stupid matchmaking. I said, the righteous thing to do would have been to push Islam and Dariush fight back and let Bobby take a couple months off and then have him fight Brad Riddle in either June or July. That would have been the right thing to do. And I think if you put that plan forward, the UFC would say, you know what? That's a banger of a fight. Maybe we do need to do that. That's a banger of a fight. Can you imagine Bobby Green and Brad Riddle? Oh, my goodness. That might be the best. You know what that fight would be? I'm going to tell you right now. That fight, and y'all going to get me saying this is a hot take, and it's not a hot take because I'm right. And if it happens, and when it happens, the day it happens, you realize, come back and tweet me and be like, yo, Keys, you know what? You were right, bro. That fight would be what y'all wanted Gaethje versus Chandler to be. Facts. Facts. Bobby Green versus Brad Riddle would be the war that you wanted to see and that y'all claim happened in Gaethje versus Chandler. Even though the people that watched that fight with a clear mind knew that that was not a war and that was not a classic. Gaethje and Chandler was competitive for one round, and then Gaethje pretty much was the only one in the fight after that. Rounds two and three, he won clearly. Chandler was clearly fatigued out by the opening of round two. That was not a war. But if Bobby Green and Brad Riddle happens, that will be what y'all claim that Gaethje and Chandler was.
Yeah, because one thing about Chandler is we know he's going to fade after the first round. But one thing we know about Brad Riddle and Bobby Green is they're not going to fade after the first round. So just imagine them two guys going at it at their pace for three rounds. So I like the Brad Riddle fight. I think the Brad Riddle fight is still going to be there. Or the Diego Ferreira fight is still going to be there for Bobby Green. But, man, I just hope this loss doesn't put a stain on what he's done in the past year as far as stringing these wins together. And that's the only reason why I definitely didn't like him taking his fight. So, but look, man, we covered a lot tonight. We talked about Cubby Covington, Jorge Masvidal. We talked about Joanna Young Jacek coming back with a possible rematch against Wally Jane. We talked about the funniest post I've seen this week. That's Aljamain Sterling, only a few weeks from, you know, entering his 2-year title reign. And then we just talked about Bobby Green taking on Islam. So, big fight this weekend. Any last words, bro?
Nah, just that, you know, the UFC, shame on you for making a fight like this. Because this is just a shit fight, to be honest. I'd love to see Bobby Green win it. I'm rooting for you, bro. I hope you knock this dude out. I don't even care what round it would be. I'm rooting for you to knock this dude out at any point. And shame on the UFC for making you take a fight. First of all, any fight, but especially a guy top five lightweight on 10 days notice. Honestly, you know, of course you'll accept the fight because, you know, it's like you say, the UFC keeps calling me and they think I'm not going to say yes. Why do they call me? They think I'm going to turn it down. He doesn't turn down fights, you know, respect to you for that. But also you got to realize that there's a lot of guys that have had the same mentality as you and the burnout isn't worth it, bro. Like Cowboy Cerrone was just like you. You know what I'm saying? That's one example right there. And there's a handful of other guys that just fought way too much. Max Holloway, I feel like, is an example of that in some ways. He fought too much. And now it's like, He's starting to feel that, you know, he's starting to have to slow down. He's starting to see him take a bit more damage than he was, you know, before. And I don't think you should fight at that pace, bro. I don't think that's good. It's like you're going on your third fight in pretty much 3 months right now. And I think that's, That's way too much, bro. Way too much. So shame on the UFC for and the state commission for even sanctioning the guy to fight on 10 days' notice. That shouldn't be allowed. If you can't get at least like a month of training, I don't even think guys should be fighting. You know, you should just be canceling the fight. Like, I'm sorry. I know people will be disappointed to hear that, but I don't think that's realistic to have guys or girls fight on these short notice fights. It's like even 2-3 weeks. It's like, really? Like, and then they have to fight an opponent that probably got it, you know, their full camp, but you want them to come in on half the time or less than half. Like, come on, bro. Like, if they can't get at least a month, bro, like, that's already kind of short notice. But to me, if they can't get that, like, y'all can have that, bro. That's trash. Like, that's just, I could go on all day. I'm kind of disgusted. But either way, I appreciate y'all for listening. Shout out to everybody. Lee, this was a great show. Always good talking with you. And yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah, man. You know, sometimes, you know, like I said earlier in the show, your trainers and your corner people got to protect you against yourself. And this is one of the times I think they should have said, okay, Bobby, you threw your name out there, but let's be realistic. Do we really want to take this fight? Is this a good fight for you? Is this a guy that's going to allow you to do what you do in there at the highest ability? No, Islam is not going to let Bobby do what he do. So I don't blame really the UFC as much as I blame Bobby's people, his team. They shouldn't have let, I mean, there's a lot of people that say they'll fight somebody, but deep down inside they really don't want to fight that person. And do Islam, people are already turning down his fights or turning down to fight him. How many people are you really going to fight him on a short notice? Not too many. So, Bobby, welcome to the main event. Hey, I hope you can shock the world. But I'm with Keys on this one. But I'm not going to go the route of the UFC. I'm going to go the route of your team. Your team should have been like, nah, we're not going to take this fight. You know, we're going to wait and fight somebody so that we can get in the top 15 of our own weight division. So, but everybody enjoy the fights this weekend. Take care of yourselves. You know. It's been cold out here, boy. It's been like in the single digits out here and snowing. So it has been crazy. I'm 6 weeks out from moving back to North Carolina. Definitely looking forward to it. So everybody have a great weekend. Take care of yourselves. As always, we end the show with a peace.